So here's what I want us to do in restaurants, public spaces all throughout this region. If your local pharmacy will sell you a couple of hypodermic needles, then go buy a couple of hypodermic needles. Go do that and take them into an establishment like a restaurant in front of others. Instead of these silly biodegradable straws, which are they melt, etc. And look, this isn't about telling you what to do as a restaurant owner. You want to run your restaurant that way? Gosh, love you. Go do that. This is about a visual comparison for the fools and the agitators and the ruinous people within the Seattle City Council. It's about exposing people like heroin Dan Satterberg and smack daddy Dow Constantine. It's about smoking the, you know, exposing the fraud of sleepy Jay Inslee. It's about pointing out that everything in this region has become upside down. I did this today. I got a syringe. I got it from a friend of mine who happens to be diabetic. And if you can't get them from your pharmacy, you can get them for free at needle exchanges. Just go down and ask for some hypodermic needles. They'll give them to you. Ask for four or five. You're paying for them. It's taxpayer money backing that up. Go get them. When you go into a restaurant, ask for a normal straw if they don't have one. They say, oh, we've got the biodegradable or we've got the compostable straw. Say, no, I've got my own, thanks. At the table, and be careful, don't stab yourself. Take the syringe out of the pack. Break off the tip. Most of the tips, in fact, I've learned because I researched this, will pop out. Now, I didn't pop it out because, frankly, I didn't want to stab myself. I just wedged it against the table. You'll see this in the video. It took me 2 seconds. I pulled the sharp tip out, and then I pulled the plunger out, and it's a tube. Now, it's not the best tube to suck stuff through. In fact, if you wanted it to be a decent tube, you could snip the end, so now it's a tube. Suck your liquid through that. And I guess they sell longer syringes. I imagine they do to get to areas that are hard to reach. Get these and film yourself doing it. Just imagine a region of culture jammers. And what we're doing is we're just taking a video. It's called the Seattle Straw. Put these videos online, as many as you can. If you don't want to do it in the restaurant, you find that embarrassing, that's fine. Do it at home. Have someone shoot the video at home. Go look at the video I shot. Mimic that. Please be careful you don't stab yourself with the needle. Don't let your kids stab themselves with the needle. Just be careful, okay? But put the videos online and tell a story. I live in the leftist area of Seattle. I live in Western Washington. These heroin needles are legal. These drinking straws are illegal. But what if I use my drinking straw as my heroin needle as a drinking straw? Well, I don't take heroin, but I got a needle. Do this and then post it and promote it and share it and shame this council. Shame, I want, well, she can't be shamed, the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant. Shame heroin Dan Satterberg and smack daddy Dow Constantine and everybody else involved in poisoning our region. And it's stark and it's a great comparison. Remember, with the needles, you can throw them on the ground. You don't have to recycle the needles. The sharp part, do that. But the plastic, it's fine to throw them on the ground. I know because they're all over the place. Even with the sharp parts on them. We just won't throw the sharp parts on the ground. Now, and don't litter. I'm kidding, but I'm just pointing that out. Speaking of heroin, pot. Good thing that the pot, that's all just harmless, right?
We got the best weed in the United States.
No, it happens that there is a marked increase in reports of young people getting pot poisoning in our area.
For drivers who are trying to turn left, the Capitol Hill blog reports SDOT backed away from the plans because of costs.
It is 4:55. New numbers from the State Poison Center show the number of children poisoned by pot in Washington State is growing. The new 2017 annual Toxic Trend Report showed a 58% increase in the number of children under five who were exposed to marijuana. That's nearly 18% more than the data Kyra 7 first reported in April. Of those cases, an estimated 23% of the kids developed moderate or life-threatening symptoms. A big part of the problem is that edible marijuana products can look like candy.
When you govern by immediate feeling, when you create laws because the laws feel good in the immediate sense, that's what you end up with, is kids getting marijuana poisoning. of course, society can work this out. And of course, you can lock these things up in your home. But it's just another sign and another thing for us to talk about in this area. Some suggestions on the needles, and I love this. Call it the Seattle Straw Challenge. Done. It's the Seattle Straws Challenge. I am challenging you to mimic the video I put up on Facebook. Call it the Seattle Straw Challenge. Also in the text line, Todd, I have syringes at home. I'm going to do this tonight. Great idea. This is the sort of activism that gets people's attention, right? This is something easy to do at home. I was talking to someone from Everett, and I was talking to a police officer. And I, since we had Jason on with his exclusive report about the cops leaving due to the politics, I've gotten calls from officers in two different agencies. In Everett, it's not to the point of cops leaving, but it's getting to the point of them beginning to look around. Why? Because a lot of it is the RVs. And all over Everett, the RVs are camping and they just say, look, there's nowhere else for us to go.
We are homeless, but we're not. I have a roof over my head every day.
In their RV, Sarah Summers and her husband have a place to sleep, but they struggle to find a place to permanently stay.
I mean, there's just nowhere to go.
There isn't a single free long-term parking option for RVs in all of Snohomish County. In Everett, any car parked longer than 72 hours is at risk of a ticket or tow.
And again, you present something like that, and then what is it you're arguing? What is it that you are saying with a piece like that? That we need to create yet more free real estate for people? I am very, very, very understanding that people fall in these hard times. If this is a family that has encountered homelessness, let us gather around them. There are charities. There is the Union Gospel Mission. There is the Compass Center. There are other charities. There are homes where people who want these homes can get in these homes, contact them, get them in. But the reason there are no spots for these long-term parkers is because they're taken up by street people. The officer I spoke with in Everett told me that now on a more and more common occurrence, they're meeting Seattle street people there. On about a weekly basis, he'd been running into people who said they had moved up there from Seattle because Seattle was full up. And he gets and he understands the difference between homeless people we talk about on the show, people who just encounter homelessness, and street people. And the cop has said now it's about once every other day. He makes contact. He sees. He can tell, okay, this guy's stealing power. This guy's got a generator set up. This guy's a bike thief. That's a street person. This is someone who is here permanently. He makes contact. He introduces himself. He does what he's supposed to do in his police agency. But he's saying it's every other day now. He has people tell him, yeah, I just moved up here from Seattle because the spots are full up. This will be a continued problem. Which brings us to the last piece of Washington news. The media is in love with the socialist from New York City because she's pretty. No, I mean, that's, you know, she's energetic. She is glib. And she's photogenic, and she looks good on camera, plus she's nice looking. She's also a socialist and a woman. In our own area, a woman named Sarah Smith is trying to upset an 11-term incumbent in a primary race.
I had to struggle to overcome this thought in my head of, oh, I'm not from a political dynasty. I'm not supposed to go into politics. I'm working class. I haven't gone up the ladder.
There's the line. Now we know it's a formula. There's the line. I'm not supposed to. I don't come from a political dynasty. I'm not supposed to climb the ladder. She's going the way of the New York socialists, and it's smart.
I haven't done it the right way. I haven't asked for permission.
There's the second part of the formula. I'm a woman pushing back because I haven't asked permission. It's the outsider talk.
And so I have to really get out of that mindset because at the end of the day, we don't need to ask for permission to run to represent our neighbors. I am for single-payer Medicare for all. I am for debt-free education. I am for abolishing ICE.
And there we go, the laundry list of the impossible. I'm for Medicare for all, meaning I will choose your doctor. I'm for debt-free education, meaning I want the debt to be put on others. I'm for abolishing ICE. Does that mean you're also for a completely open border? You're not new. There's nothing new about you. There's nothing fresh about you. There's nothing unique about you. You are a stamped-out product of a DNC who knows it's run by activists. That's just a sad statement. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I've been warning you about technology and government being a dangerous combination. You know who Jay Richards is? Jay is a guy used to be with the Discovery Institute, maybe still connected with the Institute. He is a great author, defends capitalism better than most. He's written a book called The Human Advantage. He has a piece out about how the government is going to use robots to sell the welfare state. Using robots to sell the welfare state. No idea what this is, but it is bumper music by request on the Todd Herman Show. We do that every Friday. You can hit me up on Twitter at Todd E. Herman, or you can text in 800-465-8770. Speaking of text, coupled text from the last segment, 6406. Todd, in regards to the bleedings of the gun control pimps like that congressman you just quoted, I've never heard them address this question. If by use of their door-kicking tactics, etc., they were able to confiscate every gun in the United States, private ownership, what would that do to the black market in guns? Supply and demand. The black market for guns would become one of the most profitable black markets in the country, in the world. Until 3D printing really takes hold. Then the 3D printing of the guns will be the problem. Oh, we're going to outlaw 3D printers? What happens when you 3D print a 3D printer? This is a race that can't be won. And the good news is many Democrats know that. Many Democrats know that. And they do this for political dollars only. It's a pose, but there's a new wave of Democrats, and Sideshow Bob, a part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial donations, he's one of the guys who's a true believer. Bob actually, I think, does and would love to truly ban guns. And I think Sideshow's just the guy to go try to get that done, because I think Sideshow's more dangerous. Well, yeah, look, you know what's more dangerous than Sleepy Jan's is a spoon. And not for cooking heroin. He is an inert object. Sleepy Jay Inslee is inert. He's inanimate. His staff runs things. Bob, on the other hand, he's a true believer. One of the text message, 800-465-8770, you want to text in. 5895, not sure you're talking about this or not, but on immigration, how is it that none of us could go to into any country in the world without a passport or ID and not be accepted? Right? As for immigration, by all means, come to America, assimilate, make a life for yourself. That's better than you had. What we have now is not immigration, it's an invasion. And for all those who say we're all immigrants, true. And I'm glad my ancestors did that. However, they loved the idea of America and wanted to assimilate and be part of this great country. People need to start asking this question and pointing this out. Yeah, you know, when our when the founders came here and the pilgrims, it wasn't this system. They took it over, and they fought battles, and they killed people, and it was a brutal war. They took it over, and we've evolved. We've evolved as people. We don't do that anymore. We don't go to other people's land and steal it. And for all the talk of evolution amongst the left, you'd think they might appreciate that act of evolution. I would imagine. Wouldn't you think so? They'd appreciate that? Right? But apparently they don't, and they don't want to recognize that that is the case. Now, speaking of human evolution, and I don't mean becoming a different species. I mean the evolving nature of what it is to be human. There's a piece, David Klinghoffer, Evolution News, brought my attention to. Evolution News is a great report, by the way. He cast his eye on a piece by his former colleague, Jay Richards. Jay Richards on the panic about robots taking over jobs. Now, I'll tell you, flat out, it's going to be a big problem. For a little while, it's going to be huge. The things that people didn't see coming are truck driving jobs. They're gone, right? I hate to say it. Now, what do you have, 10 years, 15 years, maybe 20 years? So earn a lot of money, right? But keep an eye on whether or not you want to own your own rig. Seriously, keep an eye on that. Maybe it's the time to sell the rig. Those jobs are going to be gone. The menial jobs are going to be gone. The minimum wage jobs are going to be gone. They disappear. We know all this. But the government is using this, according to Jay Richards, as cover for the universal basic income. Because they deeply want to announce the end of capitalism. They deeply want a Star Trek future where, you know, in Star Trek, there's no money, right? Because no one needs any, because people do stuff for free, because everyone wears a cool jumpsuit. And look, when you're wearing a cool jumpsuit, you're not thinking about money. You know, I don't know about you, but I put on a jumpsuit. I don't even want to think about work. I just want to think about my jumpsuit. So when you're wearing a cool jumpsuit and you got pointy ears, you're not going to be motivated by money anymore. You're now going to want to listen to classical music and fly through space. But the people on the left, they want this so bad, a universal basic income. A, we have one. We do. You look at the safety net. There's your universal basic income. It exists now. B, if we expand it, and this is Richard's key point, and it's a smart one. If by scaring people that the robots are going to take all the jobs forever, we hit this universal basic income, you know what it does? It forestalls, puts off, erases the need for us to adapt. And he makes a great point. He says that we've been told for years to expect the future of unemployment, that this technology coming is going to absolutely devastate the jobs. And in their term, that's true. But what he says is, if that's the case, if new technology devastated jobs consistently, then the entire population would be, and our entire history would be, a long, continuous march towards zero employment, because no one can find jobs, because technology has taken everything. Now, clearly, software is different from the technology of the buggy whip and the technology of the industrial machines. It has different capabilities. Robotics are more advanced. But the same principle holds. These things push us forward. He points this out. Around 95% of the population used to be farming in the United States. 95%. Right now, it's roughly 1% of the U.S. population that works on farms. Most of the jobs, 99% of the jobs we have now, 99% of the jobs we have now did not exist in 1776. That it is Richard's contention, and he has this book called The Human Advantage. It is his contention that the robots will, in fact, drive us into new areas of work unless we give into the universal basic income scare tactic. I think he's right. Text messages on the last few segments here from 0655. Oh, no, Tom, this is actually for you. I'm sorry. This is for young Tom. Hey, Todd, what did you film that video on? Your child's camera? Love the idea. Another example of Seattle totally out of control. Was that, you don't have kids, right?
No.
So what's the deal with your phone, being a millennial? You don't know how to use a decent camera.
It's an iPhone, man.
My iPhone, I can shoot movies with my iPhone. So will you apologize to the gentleman?
No.
Wow. Oh, there you go. That's young Tom. He's full of vigor. Thank you, Tom. 2705. Because of the demographic implosion, baby boomers are retiring. Too few labor shortage now will be huge in 10 years. Robots will help, but still going to be labor shortage for 10 years. Dave the Digital. Dave, thanks for the note. Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH. Sometimes we put little brief synopses to myself on my point that I want to make in the next segment. And here's what it says. Okay, media, you go first. That's what it says. So that's how I'm going to tease the next segment. You like that? That's a segment tease. Okay, media, you go first. Hey, what can I say? It's bumper music by request. One and only Ramones. By the way, I think at least, I know two of these guys were really hardcore conservatives. And I think three of them are Republicans. Text line 3441. What law is President Trump using that allows all the family separation at the border? I cannot find it. And everyone I talk with regarding the issue says there isn't one. Please help. He's not losing a law that allows it. It's demanded. And it's this way. And you want to search the phrase, "The Truth About Separating Kids at the Border," National Review. So Rich Lowry wrote the best piece on this, okay? Here's the deal. We cannot, when someone requests asylum in the country, we can either let them go with their kids or detain them. When we let people go and they know they're not going to be forced to come back, we risk a lot of them not coming to their hearing. Boom, they disappear. They're in the country, okay? So they started bringing kids over as a method to not being detained. Well, you got kids. You can't detain the kids. Now the rule is, the law is this. We can detain the adults, but the kids are not supposed to go into the detention center with the adults. Kind of makes sense, right? You don't want kids in an adult detention center, right? Because they could be harmed by another adult. So they put them in temporary detention centers and temporary holding facilities, and it's not pretty and it's not fun, but it's not our fault. We didn't bring the kids here. So that's why, and this has been tested, the Ninth Circuit Court, which is the most ridiculous court in the country, they reaffirmed that you can't put the kids together with the adults, and in fact, they made that rule more firm. I'd said that the segment here, I write out notes for myself, not what I'm going to say, but every now and then I'll write like a little statement. And this one was, you go first, media. So as I'm show prepping, I'm looking around with all these statements of the media, and all of them contain this element of, yeah, okay, but what are you waiting for? What is it that you, why do you need to tell us and not do this? The media is continuing to drool over this lady who won the New York 10th, the very photogenic young woman who won the 10th, and she is a so-called Democratic socialist.
Oh, this is so amazing, man. Not only would she be the youngest female ever elected to Congress, she'd also be the first member of Congress that talks like Cardi B. Like, this is so dope. She's like out there. I love it. And I love that she's proud as well. She'd be like, that's right, we're looking for health care, okay?
So they're going to continue to try to make this young woman a star. And, of course, what he doesn't mention there is that she's a socialist. Okay, first up, you go first. Let me just say this flat out to the media. If you are not right now, you know what we should do? You know another culture jamming thing we should do? You want to have some fun culture jamming? You web dev, or you build websites, you build apps, build something called Socialism Me. I was going to say socialize, but that sounds like a dating app. Socialism Me, or call it Make Me a Socialist. Call it that. Make Me a Socialist, or Avowed Socialist. I'm an Avowed Socialist. Or let's think pop culture. How about this? F word, yes, I'm a socialist. I'm thinking like pop culture. Hell yes, I'm a socialist. That's the app, okay, and the website. So you push this out, you get people to subscribe. Oh yeah, I'm a socialist. Once they sign up and they get the app, say, okay, let's do this. Let's work this out. How much of our, you know, give us your bank account information and we will redistribute your money. Right? We've signed people up who are poor. Now, maybe you'll get some money. Maybe rich people will join and do this app and only cover administrative fees. Take whatever small percent you need to cover administrative fees, or take a buck per download or something. And say, well, if you get a billionaire who joins, you might get some money. But if it's all poor people who joins, you won't. So you got to join. If you're a good wage earner, you got to join. And take it to Trevor Noah in the clip, the so-called comedian? Take it to Trevor Noah. Take it to the socialist. Take it to Lizzie Warren. Take it to Bernie Sanders. He's got three houses. Take it to them. And say, will you sign up for the app? Hell yes, I'm a socialist. And what we'll do is, we don't need to wait. Why wait? Redistribute the monies now. What percentage of people do that? What percentage of socialists in the media say, yeah, I'll do that? None. Zero. You're not a socialist. You like saying you're a socialist. You're not one. This woman who won this race in New York, you think she'd sign up for that? Pure socialism, baby. We're going to make it equal. We're going to, everybody in our app will have the same amount of money. Everybody. That's the goal. The app evens it out completely. We did something like this at the RNC. We did an app called the Friend Fairness app. And it was basically this app, but with people's Facebook friends. You installed the app and it'd say, wow, you're really popular. You have lots of friends. Some of your friends don't have very many friends. Since you're into fairness, we're going to redistribute your friends to them. And it would start like it was actually taking your friends away and giving it to other people. And it was so funny. People would, we could track their mouse. They would go all over trying to shut the app down. Shut it down! Shut it down! You're stealing my friends! And then we'd pop something up that said, oh, just kidding. But I thought you were into fairness. So media, go first. Whoopi Goldberg, you're part of the media. You go first.
You don't want people to take your guns? Well, get out of my behind. Get out of my vagina. Get out of here.
Okay, take our money out of there. Launder it a lot. You put our money in there. You go first. You take our money out, and we'll be out. I don't want to be in there. Ain't nobody does. So you go first. Pretty simple. You know, you don't want to have, old white men controlling your women's healthcare choices. Fantastic. Don't have us pay for it. Well, that's not fair. If you don't pay for it, who pays for it? Well, maybe you do. Maybe you start a charity. Maybe you go get the socialism app I just described. Maybe you pay for it that way. Maybe that's what you do. But if you ask us to pay for it, unless you're telling us just to send you money and you promise you're going to use it for healthcare and we're not going to do that, then you're putting us in there. And trust me, we don't want to be in there. So you go first. Michael Moore, he's part of the media.
The despair that I have in going forward making these movies is, when are people going to get off the couch and when are we going to rise up? And I'm telling you, folks, to answer your question, the end game, sadly, is going to be Trump is not going to leave. He plans to be reelected. He loves the term president for life. The only way that we're going to stop this is eventually we're all going to have to put our bodies on the line. You're going to have to be willing to do this.
Okay, rise up. Do it, Michael Moore. Let's see you do it, baby. It's always the other people, isn't it? It's always the other people. Well, that's just the truth of the matter. That's the test. And they flunk it. They all flunk the test. We call it 4-4 on the rundown, a little inside radio lingo. The rundown's how we lay out the show. We call it 4-4. It's the fourth segment at 4 o'clock. It is my favorite segment because it is your emails, longer form communications with the show. We do the tweets throughout the show. That's at Toddy Herman. The text messages throughout the show, 800-465-8770 is the text line. Thank you to None Better Tax Resolution for making that possible. Facebook messages, etc. Longer form we do right now. Kick it off with Sarah in Yelm responding to last night's personal note. Hey, Todd, many in theater. Oh, how well I know this syndrome, the imposter syndrome. During every rehearsal period came that moment of self-doubt. Several years ago, I was privileged to perform in a musical with a Tony Award-winning actor. I'm small time, and there I was performing the most challenging role in which I'd ever been cast, acting with a Broadway actor. I'd never felt more terrified about a show. A high bar is necessary to find what we're capable of doing. I love it when you get to sub for Rush, and you belong there. I held my own with real pros, received great reviews, and learned a lot. I belonged there, too. Like you, I'm light on formal training, a rodeo clown, more scrappy than sophisticated. Maybe that's why I've always viewed you as a kindred spirit. Keep it up, Brother Todd. Sarah, thanks very much, and you keep it up, too. The imposter syndrome. It's this sneaking suspicion that when you're successful, you don't belong there, and that someone's going to find out that you're you. And what I think I figured this out. What you're really concerned with is that people are going to know you doubt. People are going to know that you doubt yourself and that you aren't supremely confident in all corners of your life. Nathan from Seattle on Pushing Past Limits. Hey, also responding to a personal note. And I wanted to thank Kristen. I forgot to do that. who responded to this on Twitter about pushing past your limits. And I shared the story of Brian, a guy who helped me train for wrestling my senior year and pushed me past. I thought he was pushing me past physical limits, but he wasn't. He was pushing me past mental limits. Hello, Todd. First, remember you're helping others. Thank you, and keep up the standards. Second, in terms of putting yourself in a position to let someone else tear down your limitations you placed on yourself, I allowed myself to be in a position where a four-year-old tore down my limitations. How on earth? What did he do? What did he know that I didn't know? What did he see? He saw who I needed to be. I was dating a beautiful woman who happened to have two wonderful children. Things were going well, two adults looking to spend the rest of their lives together. I was planning on marrying her. Then I got a serious back injury at work, debilitating nerve damage. Not sure if I'd ever be able to work again, ever. So how am I supposed to take care of a wife? How am I supposed to take care of these kids? Can I even be a father now that I probably won't ever walk normally again? These questions and many other doubts were racing through my head. How will you pay rent? How will you buy food? How will you provide a car? How will I pick up these kids to love on them like a dad should? Oh God, I can't be a dad. I'm not physically able now. It's not fair to them. They need someone who can raise them and take care of them. This little four-year-old dude knew just what to do. He looked at me and conveyed with his look, "You are daddy." Every single time I saw that little dude, he didn't know how I was going to do it. He didn't know if I would. He knew I had a role to fill. He knew I was going to be dad and he was going to be son. Who gets married and starts taking care of a family just before back surgery? Someone who knows they have a responsibility to fulfill. That little dude needed a dad. I moved forward in faith that God would make me, would make a way while I'm fulfilling my responsibilities taking care of a family. Little dude knew I was going to be dad. We got married. I had surgery. We refused welfare. Goodwill and last chance groceries, they fit our budget. Recovery for what seemed like an eternity for me. Got so bad, even went down to sell plasma. I almost passed out even before the needles. Seriously, passing out? Well, that plan obviously didn't work out. And still, that little dude knew I was dad. I kept pushing the limitations. Back to work in construction. Started earning a paycheck. Still, I was partially paralyzed. Not supposed to lift more than 30 pounds for the rest of my life. Forget that nonsense from the surgeon. Who does he think he is placing limitations on me? I have responsibilities to fulfill. I have to be daddy. So I wore mountaineering boots to hide the fact that part of my leg didn't work. Obstacles are just meant to be overcome, right? Every day, little dude expected me to go past my limitations. Little dude knew I would fulfill my responsibilities. He looked to me to fulfill the role of daddy. With God's help, I've been doing the impossible. I've pushed past the physical limitations and have been taking care of my responsibilities to this family, fulfilling the role of husband and father. That little dude forced me to see past my limitations and focus on fulfilling my responsibilities. He saw what I needed to be. He saw me as daddy. Todd, with God's help, you're also doing the impossible. You're fulfilling a role. We look forward to you fulfilling responsibilities. God bless you. I appreciate the note, and my role is not that hard, to be honest with you. Your role sounds a lot harder. I've done hard work. Talk radio doesn't count. I mean, it's hard, but it's not backbreaking. It's not. It's mentally difficult, but it's not backbreaking. Nathan, I appreciate the note. Last up, Kelly from Port Angeles. Dear Todd, I listen to your program and I honestly get outraged, sometimes to the point that I have to turn the program off. Not because of you, but because of the topics you cover. Sometimes I need breaks. Recently, you've begun to point out the holes in what you call the wall of leftist stupid. Would you do that more often? Look, I don't want you to make it up. If it's not happening, don't say it is. But where you see signs of hope, please understand that we as the audience need to hear those signs of hope. So when you see the cracks in the wall of stupid, as you call it, will you make that a feature in your show? Maybe get your big voice guy who does the numbers of the things to do something like the cracks in the wall of stupid, or maybe use something from Pink Floyd's The Wall, or maybe the wall comes crashing down all Jericho style, something like that. I really do want to be able to celebrate the holes in the wall of stupid, and you're the guy who started the phrase. I love the program and just want more of that. Thank you, Todd. Hey, we'll absolutely try to do that. When there are, trust me, when I see holes in the wall of stupid, I am more than happy to point those out. They're what I want to point out, right? And they are what I get joy in pointing out. And we're just going to have to push forward to get more of those. I said that would be the last note, but I was not expecting this. Dear Todd, this is your mother. You know I'm a liberal. All my friends in Arizona love your program. And so they made me listen to you when you were on for Mr. Limbaugh today. I love you. No editorial comment, I see, Mom. I love you, too. All right, Todd Emmer Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Speaking of cracks in the wall of stupid, I see me an opportunity to prove a point with that goofy streetcar. Maybe that's where we begin to pound the next hole in the leftist wall of stupid in Seattle. It's the Todd Herman Show.